and welcome to this episode of the BRFCS podcast. We're going to be talking to a man from Aussie who now lives in Oz about life following Rovers Down Under. And we're also going to be getting an update from Linz Lewis, the Supreme fundraiser, on her efforts to sponsor the whole of the Blackburn Rovers ladies football team.
The New York Rovers would like to welcome you to the BRFCS.com podcast, covering the 2019-2020 Blackburn Rovers Championship campaign, hosted by Ian Herbert and joined by some very special guests. Don't forget to check out the forum here at BRFCS.com to continue the discussion.
I'm always fascinated by how long-distance supporters keep in touch with the club, and so it's my great pleasure on this episode to welcome a man who's based these days in Brisbane, Australia. It's John Lee. So, John, very warm welcome to the podcast. Tell us a little bit about you and your Blackburn heritage. I'd love to know, why Rovers? When did you first start going? And what's the story there, really?
Yeah, I suppose initially I must apologise for a lack of an Australian accent. If people are expecting that, they're going to be sorely disappointed.
Slightly disappointed, I have to say. If you could put one on for at least one question, that'd be good.
Maybe later on. It depends how much I've had to drink, and it's a bit early in the day.
It is.
Why Rovers? There was never any choice, really. It's handed down through generation to generation. It's one of those facts, and you know, it's been passed on to my kids as well, and my nieces and nephews. And my niece works there now, and while she's studying.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just a family tradition.
Where are you from originally, then?
Oswaldwistle, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, from Aussie. And yeah, my dad, both my uncles, we all used to sit together. Two of my uncles now sadly passed away, so just my dad remaining from that older generation. But yeah, we've seen sort of the older ones go out and the new ones come in. And it's on the riverside since it got reopened. But prior to that was enclosure, Darwin End and Blackburn End enclosure in the old style. So back in the day.
Done virtually all four sides of the ground over time.
Though. Yeah, and certainly during the redevelopment stages when bits were getting knocked down.
Yeah.
So it's sat in the Darwin End for a while and the Blackburn End. And on Tuesday night, went and sat in the Jack Walker upper for the Oldham game, which is a bit of a roller coaster, but everything ended okay.
Yes, very much a roller coaster. We may touch on that later on. I don't know. We shall see. So, Australia, we'll go into wish you were here mode then now. Let's go into travel agents. Why Australia? When? How long have you been out there? And just make us all feel really, really sick by just telling us how wonderful it is.
Oh, it is wonderful, but you've still got to work and pay bills. You know, all that stuff doesn't go away. It's nice when you can do it with quite a bit of sunshine around the place. And, sometimes we don't have enough rain. That's a constant theme, is that there's actually drought ridden through many areas of Australia. And could do with a bit more rain, actually.
Yeah.
So everything has its downsides as well. But why Australia? We first went out there back in before we were married, my wife and I, Susan, we went and spent a year doing the backpacker sort of thing and thoroughly enjoyed it. And then came back, got mortgages, kids and jobs and everything and settled down. And then had one or two sort of trips back to see. Susan has family in the Brisbane area. So we went a couple of times back to see them and reacquaint ourselves with some of the people we'd met from when we spent the year there. And then got into the discussion of should we go, shouldn't we go? And it was, let's actually see whether we're qualified to go or not, and we'll see whether we score sufficient points. And we went down that track and then found out that you only needed, at that stage, we went 16 years ago now, you only needed to do 2 years to get to your citizenship, so you could get a passport and have dual nationality after just doing 2 years.
Oh, right.
So we thought, well, let's give it a go. 2 years, and if we don't like it, we can always come back. But it gives us a bit of a future options, and for the kids as well, they can make their own mind up as to where they want to be, and potential maybe retirement options for us. And, well, we're still there. We're still there, and really no signs of us permanently coming back. We try and come back sort of every 2 years for a holiday, mainly to see all the family and reconnect. It's not much of a holiday resort around Oswald Twistle. I keep looking for some golden oasis of a place, but doesn't feature in many brochures. My daughter works in the travel industry, and yeah, she struggles to find any reference at all to Oswald Twistle and any of the holiday plans that they put together.
Yeah, it's not probably not a destination I would recommend as a holiday. I mean, I used to live in Oswald Twistle myself, so I've great fondness, yep. And one of my sisters, yep, still lives there. So I don't mean to disparage Oswald Twistle for anybody that's listening. Not the place that, right at the forefront of holiday destinations, I guess. No.
But I'm very much an Aussie boy, born and bred here and raised here. Went to Moor End School and then Riddings, and yeah, it's always an important part of my life, but we've just branched out to another Aussie now, and
absolutely,
yeah, a bit of a different view. Yeah, our dog's called Aussie in honour of the place. Yeah.
Fantastic, excellent. So you left in 2003? That I'm taking 16 years away from.
Yes,
so we won the league in '95, we won the League Cup in 2002, and then you left. So basically,
so it's all my fault.
The fact that we've had silverware since then is entirely down to you. So if things get really desperate, we may need to bring you back, if that's okay.
Yeah, maybe I could play centre half.
Yes. Well, we're getting back onto the Oldham game now, aren't we? Before we know it. Yeah. So following Rovers from a distance then, I guess in the last couple of years in particular, it's a lot easier than it was. But when you first went out...
No, it's got harder more recently. When you're in the Premier League, everything's covered. And you can record, even if a game's kicking off at 3 a.m. in the morning, you just press the button and you record.
Okay.
And you can get up and watch it the day after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The games now, there's lots of live streaming, but that means you need to be up
live
at 3 a.m. to watch it live, which it's not always that easy. Tend to watch the day after, but then it's been away from the score so that you don't spoil the suspense.
And yeah, yeah, yeah.
Goes with it. So yeah, it was, once you drop out of the Premier League, you might as well just have stopped playing football according to the mass media. They're really not interested unless you're, you know, the Leeds of this world or something like that. It's
Sky Sports Leeds.
Yeah, yeah, and it's the same, you know, wherever you go, they're all owned by the same organisation. It gets, it's difficult.
So iFollow is a bit of a mixed blessing in as much as it gives you the games, but not in the time period that you
want.
That's
right, yeah.
So how does it work for you guys then? Do you literally only see it live, or can you subscribe and watch at any point?
You can subscribe and watch at any point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so as you say, then the thing is about avoiding the score.
That's right, yeah. If there's a live game, if there's a live game being shown here, then it will inevitably be shown live in Australia as well.
Yeah.
It's if when we're playing Leeds, etc. Hull game's live, isn't it? I think on
it
TV.
Is. Yeah.
So that'll be on. So you'll be able to record that and either stay up through the night, depending on what the time it falls at, or pick it up later on. And as you said, we'll likely have to avoid the score.
But with social media, that must make you feel that you're closer to it.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm avid on Twitter. I'm always on the thing. So during the night, sometimes, although you say, I'm going to go to bed and that, you just...
Keep scrolling.
Picking it up, the phone's next to the bed. You just keep picking it up and having a look and seeing what's going on. And it's good. There's so many different opinions as to... So it's one of the things I miss is, like, after the Oldham game, my dad and I went down and had a drink for a while, and we were there, sort of 12 o'clock-ish, talking with other people about all the different opinions and so on. And that's just something that you really, it's irreplaceable. You just don't get that. Although there's a few Rovers fans out around the Brisbane area, a couple of dozen of us all together.
Oh, really?
And we do our best to get together every now and then, but it's not something you can do on a regular basis. It's,
Brisbane's got to make sure they all listen to this episode of the podcast.
Most Australian cities, it's quite spread out. They're not a compact city. There's a lot of room. So we live about 15 or 20 minutes drive to getting into the centre of Brisbane. So it's hard to just get everybody together to corral them.
Yeah.
So we do it when there's an event that falls at the right time. But it's that after game sort of dissection and discussion and the drunkenness and the whole social thing.
I think Twitter can be like that, and certainly the forum.
Right, yeah.
In the first 2 hours after the final whistle, I'd liken Twitter in many respects to being a sort of like a virtual pub. In that there's always somebody in there that you think, oh God, not him again. There's always somebody in there that you think, oh, he's really interesting, I'd like to listen to him. Yeah, or there's somebody else that's sort of like droning on and on much like any tap room or any bar.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The great thing about Twitter, I guess, is that you can curate the people that go into your bar at least. So you put a few on mute and sort of think, I'll come back to you in an hour's time. It's a bit like walking out of one room and sitting in a different room.
But what I enjoy as well, though, is a lot of the, like my dad's age, his generation, who aren't on the Twitters, but they got such good, and it, because it leads on to stories as well and reminiscing and, you know, I'm telling you all the other stuff as well. So it's, a lot, just a social thing. Yeah. And I suck it up like a sponge while I'm here. I suppose when you're here, it's just, oh, yeah, it's the old folks going on again. But when you're absent from it and you come back, it's like, oh, yeah, this is really good. I'm enjoying it. Yeah, I enjoy it. It's very good.
Fantastic. So back in the UK then, what are the differences? Well, first of all, I guess around Oslo Twistle and Blackburn, what are the things that you've noticed that have changed? But what's the biggest difference in seeing the team in the flesh versus watching it over the screen? What are the things that surprise you positively or negatively?
To the surroundings, I hate to be really pessimistic, but I'm just really disappointed in all the old architecture and stuff that just keeps getting knocked down and replaced by sort of temporary aluminium and glass and brick facade stuff. And because while we're here, we take the opportunity and have a drive out through the Ribble Valley and the Trotball. You see all these wonderful, wonderful places. And, went through Downham and been to Skipton and Accrington and Blackman and Oswald Twistle as well. It's just, well, we don't need this anymore. We'll knock it down. And I jokingly was saying to one of my friends, if Clitheroe was in Hindburn, the castle would have been long gone. That wouldn't have had a chance. So we don't need that anymore. Let's get rid of it.
The maintenance costs are too high.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll turn to business. What about the team then? What about watching the Rovers in the flesh?
I've struggled a little bit with the first team. I went to Blackpool for the pre-season game and Bury for the pre-season game, and it's chopped and changed. That's been one of the disappointments for him, getting political maybe, is that we've had a really poor pre-season. I think the preparation for it has been, the level of opposition hasn't been what it should be.
Yeah.
And just the chop and change, there's no consistent level saying, this is our best team, let's go and play it. And I know that incoming transfers have a little bit to do with that. I don't think the best 11 is still known, really. Maybe see this coming Saturday if it's a little, well, it must be settled now because the window is closed.
Well, so I think picking his 11 from the squad's going to be interesting because, there's no doubt Danny Graham coming on midweek. Him and Dak have an understanding that isn't replicated with anybody else in that team.
That's right. Yep. Watching the way that he plays with Dak, I think Dak's a better player when Graham's on there.
Definitely. Yeah, they seem to come as two bookends that we can't do without one or the other. So who's the most impressive player in the flesh of the games that you've seen? Who's the one that's caught your eye and made you think, oh yeah, there's something there?
Well, I think Dak had an ordinary pre-season games that I went to watch him, didn't really do much. But when he came on, and again, it's only Oldham, which is fair enough, but he just lit the place up and made things start to happen. And I haven't seen a lot of Bradley Dak in the flesh. The last time I was over here was the relegation season when Owen Coyle was still, I was going to say in charge, but I don't think he was ever in charge.
Notionally. His name was on the office door.
Yeah. Lenihan played that day and got sent off at one of the games at Barnsley, if I remember
rightly.
How was
that one? Yeah, there was a lot of vitriol at the final whistle round by the tunnel.
Yeah, I went to that one, and Huddersfield away as well was another game whilst I was here. So there's been quite a few changes, and I haven't seen many of the players now that are playing in the flesh, so it's first time for quite a few of them. Dak. Yeah, I'd heard about him, and you see bits on the TV and so on, and he looks pretty decent. I don't know if he's as good as everybody's raving on, saying he's a £15 million player. I think that if somebody just bought, it's that Danny Graham influence in him that sometimes makes him look a great player, and if you don't have Danny Graham, then he's Dak a lesser player.
Well, certainly in the promotion season, Dak, that's where he founded his reputation, but he and Graham started to form an understanding.
Yeah.
Last season, I think he blew hot and cold. I think there's no doubt that the step up meant that he didn't have quite as much time on the ball, but also he was a marked man. I think every opponent knew that if he got to Bradley Dak, you turned off a lot of our creativity. Okay. I'm hoping that this season, with the benefit of his experiences, he'll blossom. Whether he's a £15 million player or not, I'm somewhat skeptical, I must admit. And I think your point about him and Graham is well made. Trying to find, whether it's Gallagher or Brereton or whatever, to partner him and bring out of him and him bring out the best of the others is going to be probably Mowbray's biggest single challenge this season. Because having spent 12 million quid on Brereton and Gallagher, it's kind of got to make one of them work at least.
So both of them, Brereton played against Oldham and Gallagher obviously played against Charlton on the opening day, and they were all right. Neither of them massively impressed me as sort of multi-million pound players, though.
No.
But, yeah, they're getting a bit of stick at the moment, and I think that's just because of the price tag, but they seem to be pretty decent players, and time will tell. That's the great test, is how you go over the back of the season.
I think it's always very dangerous to draw conclusions after just one or two games, but inevitably football fans do that because we're football fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're looking, we're always, I think, like Blackburn in particular, looking for, when we bought a centre forward called Alan Shearer and he came in, and after like 15 or 20 minutes, you thought, this lad's a good one. In fact, he's very good. And by 90 minutes, in fact, he's possibly one of the best five centre forwards in the world. Yeah.
But the initial reaction for me was, why do we let Speedy go?
Yes. Yes. I don't think you're alone in that. That was one of my biggest disappointments. Well, he might be good, but, Speedy, I mean, come on. You know, he can't be better than him, can he? Yeah. Well, just one of my early prognostications that. Proves how little I know about football.
I every opportunity I get, I go and watch the kids, whether they're playing at Brock Hall. I also went to Leyland on Monday night, and the under-23s played against Arsenal.
Yeah.
That was...
Three penalties, wasn't it?
Yeah. And at the time, you're thinking, that's a bit harsh, but when you come back and reflect a bit, I suppose it's... Because they had quite a few young defenders in, because Platt and Grayson were earmarked for the first team for the following day. So there's young defenders playing, some sort of naive mistakes. The first penalty, the keeper saved it, but he spilled it. Yeah, he was really good. Jack Vale, I've seen him a few times now while I've been back, and he just continues to impress playing up front. Stefan Moles, another one who seems like he's...
Like that assembly line is running again. The only preseason game I got to go to was the Mansfield one, and the young Danny Butterworth played in that.
Yeah.
And he buzzes around, and I do like that. He's not the most imposing physical presence. Mm-hmm. Very, very much like Speedy, I think you would sort of say. You know, I'm guessing maybe 5'8", 5'9", but very lively, very light on his toes.
Yeah.
And he definitely has something about him. I think young John Buckley has something about him as well. He seems to glide majestically over the turf, and I think with just another season's experience under his belt, I think next year he could be one to come to the fore. Yeah. I did feel sorry for him in the Charlton game, being thrown in. Yeah, do something, we're losing. Brereton must have thought, Lord alone knows.
How do they handle the step up coming out of the youth setup or the academy setup, and that it seems like it's a way bigger jump than maybe we realise.
I certainly saw that on
Tuesday, I think. I would have expected that the two centre-backs, young guys, would have been all over that against, an admittedly lower...
I think it's a physicality, like isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's just that old pros will love to bully a young opponent and sort of impose themselves and see. And it depends on their character and how they respond to that.
Yes.
But it is a big step up. But I think the assembly line there is, as I say, is starting to roll again. So hopefully we'll see some more youth products coming through into the first team.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So lastly then, John, dare we ask, how much have you spent in the club shop? What are you taking back to Australia? Have you been taking orders on behalf of your fellow Aussie Rovers fans?
I've spent very, very little because that'll be apart from apart from the playing kit, it's got to be. I don't think that there's any real good quality merchandise in there. I was a bit disappointed, underwhelmed by what they have to offer in the shop. I went in fully intent of, having a splurge. And
credit card melting.
yeah. And you look at some of the stuff and it's like, I don't know.
The big thing last season, and I think they've still got them this season, is the walkout jackets.
Yes, yeah.
They flew
don't,
off
we
the
don't
shelves.
Need them. Don't
of course
them,
not.
We're living in a different climate. And, a lot of the sort of nicer gear, some of the knitwear and so on, it's just not appropriate for
where we live.
And the rain gear and so on, which, it looks nice, but... Yeah, first team, I'm now at an age where I don't wear any football shirts and got well beyond that. Yeah, so I ended up getting a couple of T-shirts and a few different stickers for in the cars and air fresheners and all that sort of stuff. So you can proclaim and carry the message wherever you go to try and make
You have to try and get them to do a special Australian fan range of flip flops and speedos and see what we can do. Well, John, listen, it's been lovely chatting with you. I'm glad you've enjoyed your time over in the UK. I hope you're going to the Borough game on Saturday, I take it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that'll be the last one. We fly back on Monday.
Hopefully you can fly back with 3 points in the back pocket, because it's been a bit of a shaky start, I think, to say.
Well, I'll be there playing my part, trying to get those 3 points in.
Good man.
Make my contribution.
Excellent. Well, thank you for giving up your time. I hope you enjoy the rest of your time in the UK. And as I say, spread the word about the podcast down under. Let's get get all 20 people in Brisbane listening to this.
And there's heaps of us throughout Australia. It'd be good if we've tried many times to have a sort of a fan group, the Blackburn Rovers Australian New Zealand supporters group. There's a website and there's Twitter groups and so on. If anybody wants to get in touch or anything at all, whether it's people visiting Australia who just want somebody to have a drink with, or people who are moving over, lots of kids come over doing their sort of two-year backpacking thing, then there is a friendly community dotted out throughout all the states. If you get in touch with us, then there's always somebody ready to have a yarn with you, maybe help you, point you in the right direction with one or two things as well.
That's fantastic. Thanks once again, John. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Ian. Thank you.
So, on the line, I have Fundraiser Supreme. Linz, you had an idea earlier this week, and, well, things have gone a bit nuts since then. Would you like to tell us about your week in a nutshell?
I've had about 4 hours sleep. I've sent more tweets than I think I've ever sent in my life, and that says something. Hopefully we've created something really wonderful and exciting.
So just on the off chance that there's somebody listening who doesn't know what this week has consisted of for you, would you like to explain what your initial objective was and where we've got to?
Okay, so myself, Lucy and Holly discussed it 2 or 3 months ago probably, when we went out for drinks. So for people that don't know, Lucy and Holly were part of the International Women's Day podcast and are two of my best friends at Rovers, and discussed whether we could raise funds to sponsor one of the women, but we didn't know at that time how much it was. And then some literature came out to say it was £250 to sponsor one of the Rovers ladies players, and I ummed and ahed for a little bit about whether it was something I wanted to do. And that wasn't because I didn't think the appetite was there to support the women, it was just because I didn't really know if I was the right person to give it a go. So Sunday afternoon came, and I was watching Orange Is the New Black in my pajamas. There's a lovely image for everybody. And I thought, no, I'm gonna try. So the initial tweet went out at about 6 o'clock on Sunday evening to say, would 25 Rovers fans give £10 each to sponsor one of the Rovers ladies players?
And since then, I'm just looking at the Just Giving page. Would you like to update everyone?
I haven't seen it in the last 5 or 10 minutes, but I think we have enough funds to sponsor 15 of the ladies now. So the squad as it stands is 16 ladies, and we have enough to sponsor 15 of them for the 1920 season. So it's around 3,750-ish the last time I checked.
It's a little bit more than that now. So let me give you the bang up-to-date figure. So yeah, your initial target was £250. We are at £3,805, which by my arithmetic means that if we can get another £195, then as you say, we've sponsored all 16 members of the Rovers ladies team.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad return in 5 days, if I may say so.
Yeah, it's just exploded. It's been insane. And if anybody hasn't heard about it, I would be really surprised, because I do feel like it's taken over my life and everybody else's. So, you know, if people have unfollowed me, I apologise. But it's been phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
So let's assume then that some nice people will listen to this and it gets us to the £4,000 barrier. If we go beyond that, what happens to any surplus funds? Have you got any ideas about what we might do?
Yeah, so it's all going to go to the ladies. That's definite. So there's lots of things to consider. And the lovely people at Rovers have been helping me negotiate how to spend it. So although everybody's given their £10, a lot of people have said with that, Lynn's, just do what you want, which is quite daunting, to be honest. So people have very much left it to me to decide how it's spent. So what I want to do and what the collective group of fans want to do is firstly sponsor all of the women. And obviously there may be additions to the squad, so we may need to look at that. And then after that, ideally, we want to try and encourage more people to go and watch the women. So my thoughts are that the mascot packages are £25, which I think is incredibly reasonable. And with that, you get 2 adult and 2 children tickets, obviously access to the players. So we would like to buy as many mascot packages as possible and then give them to youngsters, be it at football clubs, schools, or children or families who perhaps couldn't afford to go, get them access, let them have some fun, and hopefully become fans of the ladies and the men's team, and go from there, really, is the idea.
That sounds absolutely terrific. Well, there are excuse me, there are 269 people that have subscribed so far. So as I say, we need another 195 to cover the squad. But if we get more than that, then, as Lynn says, it will go to a good cause. It will go to young people to get involved and just generally raise the profile. But if those 269 supporters, I know some of them are actually based abroad, so, but if we all turned up to one game, that would be quite something, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. So I think, you know, I just have to remind myself that we're only 5 days in and I genuinely had no plan with this. You know, my thoughts were, if 25 people were kind enough to give me £10, it was going to be a very simple thing to do. And actually 269 people have given nearly £4,000. And it's just trying to work out how to spend that. So first and foremost, it benefits the women, but then also it needs to benefit the community. And I think actually what's lovely is the people that have given don't really want any benefit from it. You know, pretty much everybody has said, just make sure, you know, you have some fun with it and the ladies get to enjoy it and that the community benefits from it. And I personally think it's something really, really special, and I'm so excited and I'm so proud that so many people have got involved with it. And that is testament to what the girls have done. They're so successful. They're so nice. They're so engaged on social media. So many people have said so many nice things about them. It's their money. It's because of their success. It just happens to be that I'm gobby and, you know, I've tweeted a lot and people have got behind it. But it is about these women, and we can't lose sight of that.
No, they have been one of the amazing success stories, I think, of the club holistically, certainly.
They have. But we like winning, you know, it's great, winning's lovely.
This is just this has just tapped into a seam, though, hasn't it? As you say, it's almost like you've taken the cork out of the bottle and the genie has emerged, and lo and behold, there's all this goodwill, which I just think is absolutely fantastic. It really is.
I think it's lovely to see that side of social media as well. I think, you know, we have some negative experiences sometimes, but also we have some really, really positive ones. And we chuck this Rovers family or this Rovers community kind of words around. But actually, to me, that is something. I do feel part of a family. I do feel part of a community. And the fact that, you know, 269 people have trusted me with their money to invest in our amazing women is fantastic. And the women are, the ladies players are so, so grateful, and Rovers as a club couldn't have been any more supportive either. And I think that's really reassuring to know that they're behind it.
No, that's great to hear. That really is, because you hope that if you do these things, it taps into the consciousness. So just lastly then, as a result of all this sponsorship, that means the collective, as it were, gets access to various season tickets and match day tickets and all sorts of goodies like that. Any thoughts as to what's going to happen with those? Can they be used to raise any more money? Or?
So my thoughts initially are that we, again, are going to give some of those away. So we're going to have to local football clubs and to local schools those tickets available all season for them to distribute as they want to. And I think some of the others are going to be used amongst some of the people that have donated, who have already kind of messaged me and said, oh, I've never been to a Rovers game, or I'm going to take my little one, or I'm going to whatever. So I think, you know, that's a quite nice way of saying to those people that have donated, thank you, and here's a ticket. I think it's really important to mention as well that if people don't want to give to the sponsorship, actually the ladies' ticket prices are incredibly reasonable. So if you're trying to go and watch a game, it's a lot cheaper to go to the ladies than it is to the men's. It's £20 if you're a Rovers season ticket holder to be a ladies season ticket holder. It's £40 if you're a non-season ticket holder, and it's £50 for a family season ticket. So which is still a lot of money, but compared to what you would pay to go and watch the men, if you're looking for a way into football and to see if your little ones like it, then the ladies may be the way to go.
Gateway drug to get them into the club. Absolutely. Yeah, get them hooked. But as you sort of say, it's a low risk. I know a lot of people go and watch the under-23s. As far as I'm concerned, this is just another team that represents Blackburn Rovers Football Club. And so they are more than worthy, more than deserving of our support. And this is absolutely terrific. So, Linz, onwards and upwards. I suppose the next campaign is to raise money to buy a centre-back for the men's team. Is that...
I mean, would he just be played at right back anyway? I'm not sure. I know I said I was retiring from podcasting. I'm 100% retiring from fundraising when this is done. But...
Yeah, I believe that when I see it as well. Yes.
It's been absolutely wonderful. And I'm very, very thankful to people. But yeah, the message is that people can still donate. Can I plug the Just Giving?
You can indeed. Right? Absolutely.
So obviously I'm at LinzLewis15 on Twitter, and it's literally all I've tweeted about for 5 days. So people will find it on there if they want to. And the Just Giving is www.justgiving.com/crowdfunding/Rovers Ladies. We've asked people to chuck in a tenner. Some people have chucked in less, some people have chucked in a lot more. I'm happy for people to contribute whatever they can afford, just so they feel part of something really special.
Of course. And I think there's also, well, I know there is also a thread set up on www.brfcs.com as well. So if you go on there and go on the message board, there's also further details in there, just in case you didn't catch it on the pod. Linz, thank you once again for contributing to a podcast. This is probably about the 114th podcast you've done since you announced your retirement from podcasting. So more comebacks than Frank Sinatra and Status Quo. There we go. Thanks also, I'm sure, on behalf of the ladies for this fabulous fundraising. And we look forward to seeing what happens, and we look forward to regular updates during the season.
Yep, promise. Thank you so much, Ian.
Marvellous. Thanks, Linz. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Let's be played out now by the boys from The Symmetry. The power of a podcast is always in the edit, my friend.
Yeah, of course.